from nukes to another aspect of technology, one of the signs of truly transformative technology is that it defies description early on as a single object or a device. Computers are like that. I mean, what we think of as a computer today is the result of a complicated interaction of machines and humans. To answer the questions, what work can machines do, and what do humans need or want done by these things called computers? And it's one of the reasons there's no single inventor of the computer. A lot of geniuses working independently and sometimes in complete obscurity invented what we know as the computer. But Jane Smiley, Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist of 1,000 Acres, who spoke with us last week, writes that perhaps one of those geniuses deserves more credit than he has received up until now. Here he is speaking in a bio doc about his work.
Finally, I was so unhappy that I saw I couldn't get anything done. And I did something that I did in those days. I got in my car and drove for a long period of time at a high rate of speed so that I would give my attention to driving and not to my problems. I looked ahead and there was a light and I soon realized that was a tavern. I went in there, bought myself a drink. In the cool atmosphere of the roadhouse, I now reached the following conclusions on my computing machine.
That's the voice of the late John Atanasoff, who's a digital pioneer in the work of the subject of Jane Smiley's new book, The Man Who Invented the Computer, the biography of John Atanasoff. Jane Smiley, good morning.
Good morning.
So the man who invented the computer, there is a man who invented the computer?
Well, there's a man who invented the machine that eventually, through many interesting quirks and turns, became the modern computer.
You know, in the story of Atanasoff, who is a teacher, a physics teacher at Iowa State College, you know, not somebody you necessarily associate with Nobel Prizes, it seems that ingenuity won out here. He basically wanted to make a machine that would do some work for him.
Well, you know, he was an ingenious child and an ingenious young man. When he was, I guess, 11, they bought their first car, and he not only figured out how to drive it by the time he was 12, but he figured out how to fix it by the time he was 13.
And that's always nice to have around the house. You know? This is the child we all want. But the way that he stated problems and the way that he approached problems, I think, was very much at odds with the sort of John von Neumann style, the other character in this book that we haven't even mentioned, where they were trying to invent everything at once in the computer, trying to invent something that simulated, you know, vast sort of mathematical operations. And in some ways, Atanasoff's success comes from the fact that he chose to do something very simple.
And he had to do it that way because he couldn't get any money from Iowa State University to do it in a more complex way. But the great advantage of being at Iowa State was that he was surrounded by engineers. And that was one of the problems that von Neumann himself had. When you were at the center of the mathematical universe at, say, Cambridge or Princeton, engineers were hard to find. But
of course. You know, it's a great story of two cultures. I mean, you get this idea of John von Neumann in a room. There's so many geniuses in this room. Can we find somebody who could actually make something? And it's just the opposite in Atanasoff's world. What did he call his machine?
He called it the ABC, or it came to be called the ABC, the Atanasoff-Berry computer. But one of my favorite quotes about John von Neumann was that his wife said he couldn't turn a screwdriver, but he could fix his zipper if he had to. I mean, he wasn't the guy who was going to put the stuff together to create the machine. But he was the guy who was going to see the possibilities.
And, of course, the von Neumann enterprise went on to become the Sperry computer, the ENIAC, which then became part of the whole defense establishment and became the companies that we know of as the fledgling computer industry, Honeywell and IBM and all of those mainframe computer companies which dominated the 50s and 60s. I'm wondering if, say, 500 years from now, when we look back on the history of computers, and we'll note that it's the Bill Gateses and Steve Jobs of the world that became billionaires as a result of the computer industry, and not one of the people that actually made the machines themselves.
To me, one of the main lessons of the computer revolution is let everybody at it. Let everybody have these ideas and try them out, and then, boom, it'll all take off.
Well, it's a great story. The man who invented the computer, and it's not just one man that gets talked about in this book, the author Jane Smiley. Thanks so much, Jane.
Bye-bye.